Good afternoon, everybody. Parsha Shoftim describes the mitzvah to give the kohanim some of the matnos kibuna, and at the conclusion of that mitzvah, the pasuk explains that the reason why kohanim are given matanos is kivo b'chay Hashem alokecha mikol shibatecha la'amod sharis b'shem Hashem hu uvanav kohayamim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen the Shevet of Levi, of the Kahuna, to stand and serve B'Shem Hashem, he and his sons throughout all the days. And then two psukim later, it says, V'Shereis B'Shem Hashem Alakav Kechol Akav HaLevim HaOmedim Sham Lefnei Hashem, that the Levim are supposed to stand during their Shevet. So from the pasuk of Kivo B'Chai Hashem Alakacha Mikol Shvatecha La'amod Shareis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Shevet of Kahuna to stand during their shirus, la'amod b'shareis, the Gemara in Tzvachim, and the Chaf Gimel Amid Beis, derives that yeshiva invalidates avodah b'mikdash, that there is a psul of yoshiv, that if one sits while he does avodah in the mikdash, then he has invalidated that avodah, he has been b'chalel that avodah. The Gemara presents two statements as to how exactly we derive this psul of yoshiv, this disqualification of sitting during the avoda. One of the statements is ascribed to Amoraim in the name of Rav Nachman, and the second one is a Braisa. So Rav Nachman says that we learn from the phrase La'amol b'shareis that the amida b'chartiv v'lo l'yeshiva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Kohen when he stands, but not when he sits. La'amida b'chartiv, I've chosen them, the Kahuna, for standing, but not for sitting. And then that's Rav Nachman's explanation of La'amud Shares and how we derive the disqualification of yeshiva. Because if you have to stand, then obviously you can't sit. Then the Braisa says that La'amud Shares establishes a mitzvah to stand. And then we have another pasuk, which we cited before, of Ha'umidim Sham of Hashem, and that's a second pasuk that tells us about the same idea, that those who are doing avodah in the mikdash must stand. So because we have two psukim, so then we derive that it's not only a mitzvah, but that it's also ma'akev, that amida during the avodah is not only a mitzvah, but it's also ma'akev the avodah, such that if one does the avodah while sitting, then he has passed his avodah, he has been mechalal the avodah, he has invalidated the avodah. So I'd like to discuss today some of the ideas behind this psul of yoshev be'avoda and the ramifications that it has for topics not necessarily about the avoda b'mikdash, but topics that are more close to home, namely topics like tefillah and recitation of korbanos during davening or during the day. So in order to structure that discussion, let's focus on three main questions. The first one that I want to get into is the relationship between the two statements in the Gemara. We said that Rav Nachman derives from La'amud d'shareis le'amidah b'chayitzu v'lo li'yeshiva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Kohanim when they're standing, not when they're sitting. And the Braisa derives the disqualification of yeshiva from the doubling of the mitzvah of Amidah, La'amud d'shareis and Ha'omdim. So what's the relationship between these two? Are they saying the same thing? Is there a machlokas between them? So we'll get to that eventually. The next question, of course, is the basis for the psul of yoshiv. What really is the underpinnings of this psul? What lies behind the psul? How are we to define it and characterize it? And furthermore, what exactly is the precise definition of the psul? Meaning, what are the parameters of the psul? Should we say that amida is a requirement and anything that's short of amida is going to be problematic? Or is the idea that yeshiva, sitting, is the posel, but anything that's more than yeshiva will be fine? I mean, we have two poles. We have on the one hand amida and the other hand yeshiva. But what about certain postures that are in between? If something falls short of amida, but it's more than yeshiva, will it suffice or will it also disqualify? And what might that question hinge on? So let's begin with a discussion of the basis for the psul of yoshiv. What is this psul all about? So we see really three approaches in the Rishonim towards this psul. The first one, and perhaps the most extreme, is based on the simple interpretation of Rashi and Tosfos and Zvachim and Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, and this is the way that they are interpreted by Rav Yerucham Fishel Perla, and that is that a yoshiv, one who sits while doing the avoda, is considered to be a zar. He's considered to be a non-Kohen. And the idea is that sometimes contextual factors can cause a Kohen to lose his status as a Kohen vis-a-vis his Hechsher La'avoda, vis-a-vis his permissibility or his his efficacy for the avodah. Another example would be the big day kahuna. The Gemara in Tzvachim and Daf Yud Zayin of Beis says that when the kohanim are not wearing their begadim in big dayam aleihem, then in kahuna sam aleihem. When they're not wearing their begadim, so then they're no longer considered to be kohanim. They're just like a zar. They're just like a non kohen. So the approach would be here that just as when a kohen is not wearing his big day kahuna, he's considered like a zar. So too when he does the avodah with a certain posture, namely while sitting, then he's also considered to be like a zar. That is the interpretation of Rashi and Tosos that some Achronim have, and one of them is Rabbi Yochanan ben Shapurla. The problem is that there seems to be a lot of evidence that just cannot be the case. The rest of the reading of the Gemara just doesn't really work out with interpreting the psul of Yoshev to be a psul of a zar. And therefore, other Rishonim take a different approach to the basis for this psul. And they explain that it's not that a Yoshev is really considered to be a zar, just like a Kohen who's not wearing big day kahuna is considered to be a zar. Rather, the psul of Yoshev is an independent psul. And we can describe that in one of two ways. The Chofetz Chaim, his Perush on Tzvachim in the Likutei Halachos, so he explains that Rashi and Tosos really mean something else. And the Yad Ramah, in his Perush on Sanhedrin, on Daf Yedalad Amud Aleph, says something very similar. And the explanation would be that the comparison between a Yoshev and a Zar is not to say that a Yoshev is really, that the psul of Yoshev, the disqualification of Yoshev, really just reduces to the disqualification of a Zar, but rather that there's some common denominator between them. That just as a Zar is nim'as la'avoda, his avoda is rejected, so too a Yoshev's avoda is rejected. It's an inappropriate type of avoda. It's an avoda that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. So that would be the approach here, that a Yoshev is nim'as le'avoda, not that he's actually considered to be like a Zar, but rather that there's some overlap between the psul of Yoshev and the psul of Zar. That just as a Zar is nim'as le'avoda, so too a Yoshev is nim'as le'avoda. The third approach is to take a more formal understanding of this din, and that's to say that part of the definition of avoda, of the shame of avoda, is amida, meaning that any service that's done not be amida just lacks the definition of avoda. And that's what we seem to see from the Rambam, who says ein avoda ela be amida. Part and parcel of the definition of avoda is to have amida. So therefore, by natural consequence, if one sits while he does the avoda, then his avoda is pasul. Why is his avoda pasul? Because there's no avoda to talk about. Part of the definition of the avoda was the posture of standing. And therefore, without standing, there's just no avoda that gets off of the ground. So in total, we have three different approaches that really stem from two main approaches that can split into three. One is to say that the Yoshev is really like a Zar, that his soul reduces to the soul of Zar, and the other is to say that a Yoshev is an independent soul. And if it's an independent soul, then there might be two different ways of looking at that. One is that a Yoshev that when a person does the avoda while sitting, so he's nim'as la'avoda, he's done the avoda in a rejected type of way, just like a zar does. And another is to say that a formal part of the definition of avoda is that it is to be done be'amida. Just to explain a little bit further, why would we say that a Yoshev is connected to a Zar in the first place? Why would Rashi and Tosos, the first approach that we took, why would they say that a Yoshev, that the psul of Yoshev, the disqualification of Yoshev, really just reduces to the disqualification of a Zar? So the idea would be that it stems from Rav Nachman, the Amida Bechartiv v'lo liyeshiva. Rav Nachman says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the Kohanim only when they are the Amida, but not when they're b'yeshiva. So that might suggest that if they are b'yeshiva, then they haven't been chosen. No, the Kohen hasn't been chosen. If the Kohen hasn't been chosen, so then he lacks his status as a Kohen. And Mimela, so by... just by natural consequence, he becomes a Zar. And in fact, that is actually the way that the Netziv in his Perush in Merome Sada explains the debate between the Tanaim and Rav Nachman. Remember that we asked whether the two drashos, the first of Rav Nachman, the La'amod b'sharis, La'amida b'charte, v'lo b'yeshiva, and the second of the Braisa, that there are two psukim,
one, la'amod l'shareis, and number two, ha'omdim, in order to establish that amida is ma'akiv. So we asked whether those are in dispute or whether they're saying the same thing. And the Meron Misanda explains that there's actually a debate between Rav Nachman and the Braisa that follows him. Rav Nachman bases himself on a different Braisa from a different place in Masachas Vafim, that the whole issue of Yoshev, the whole basis for the psul is le'amida b'chartiv v'lo li'yeshiva, that a Kohen is chosen only when he's the Abida, and Bimela, by natural consequence, when he's B'yeshiva, he lacks the status of Kohuna. Whereas according to the Braisa, that's not the correct understanding of the Psul of Yoshev. It's not the Amida B'charta below the Yeshiva. Rather, there's a positive requirement for the Avuda to be the Amida, and by natural consequence of that, so that when one does the Avuda B'yeshiva, his Avuda is going to be Pasul. So the Meromei Sada connects these different approaches back to the drashos in the Gemara and explains that Rav Nachman and the Braisa are actually arguing about the fundamental understanding of the psul of Yoshi. Is it, does it reduce to the psul of Zar? That's the understanding of Rav Nachman. Or is it an independent psul? That's the understanding of the Braisa that comes after Rav Nachman. The truth is that there are many ramifications for these different approaches to the psul of Yoshev be'avuda, both within the realm of avuda b'mikdash and also within the realm of other areas of halacha. So let's begin with avuda b'mikdash first. So there was a question that the Achronim dealt with, namely whether a Yoshev is chay of malkos for doing the avuda b'yeshiva. The Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Chaf Dalet and Aleph clarifies that a Yoshev is not chay of misa the way that a zar is. If a zar does the avuda, so then he's going to be chay of misa for his avuda. But if a Yoshev does the avuda, meaning if a Kohen does the avuda while sitting, so he's not chay of misa. The Gemara explains that very clearly. But the question is whether a Kohen who does the avuda v'yeshiva is chay of malchus. He's not chay of misa, but is he chay of malchus? So the Rambam explains in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, Perek Hei Halacha Yitzayin, that a Yoshev is not chay of malchus. Why is that? Because the azhara, the warning for a Yoshev not to do the avoda, is Michlal Asay. What's the Asay? The Pasuk in this week's parasha. The Pasuk says, La'amod l'sharis, that the service in the Mikdash, the avoda, is supposed to be the Amida. That's a positive requirement. And we derive from the fact that the avoda is supposed to be the Amida, that it also should not be the Yeshiva. But because the Azhara is really formulated as a positive commandment, so therefore, the Yoshev is not going to be Chai of Malkos, because the Chai of Malkos depends on having a negative commandment. But Rav Yerucham Fishel Perla explains that according to the position of Rashi, that the psul of Yoshev is really a psul of a Zar, that it reduces to the same category as Zar, so then the Yoshev should be Chai of Malkos. Why? Because the azhara, the warning for the Kohen not to do the avoda b'yeshiva, is really the same warning as the warning for a zar not to do the avoda, namely, v'zar lo yikrav aleichem. The Torah says that a zar is not supposed to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of the avoda. And that azhara is formulated in the negative. It's a negative commandment. A zar may not do the avoda. So too, if a yoshev is considered like a zar, so we have a negative commandment attributed to the yoshev, and since there's a negative commandment attributed to the Yoshev, therefore derives from Yucham Kishor Perla that a Yoshev would be Chayiv Malkos. So we have a machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi, at least according to the interpretation of Yerucham Kishor Perla, whether the Yoshev would be Chayiv Malkos or not. The Rambam says no, Rashi says yes. And the point of dispute between these two opinions, really revolves around the nature and character of the psul of Yoshev. According to Rashi, the psul of Yoshev just reduces to the psul of Zar, and therefore it's going to follow the same dinim as the psul of Zar. So just as Zar is a negative commandment, so too Yoshev is a negative commandment. And if Yoshev is a negative commandment, so then it should have the chiyuv of Malkos. Whereas according to the Rambam, the psul of Yoshev does not reduce to the psul of Zar. The psul of Yoshev is an independent psul, like we explained before for the Rambam. The psul of Yoshev really is just a natural consequence of the fact that the definition, the part of the definition of avoda, is the posture of Amida. And therefore, for the Rambam, there's no negative commandment associated with Yoshev, and as a result, there would not be any chiyuv of Malkos for a Kohen who does Avoda B'Yeshiva. So that would be one ramification between these, one consequence of these different approaches within the realm of Avoda B'Mikdash. Now let's discuss some other realms of Halacha that might be affected by our discussion. So can we expand this discussion of Amida to other realms of halacha? So let's first discuss whether Amida is necessary when one recites korbanos in the morning. So we have a practice to recite some of the korbanos in every day, and that's in order to consider ourselves as if we've been makriv the korbanos, as if we've sacrificed the korbanos. We don't have the ability to sacrifice them in reality because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but instead we say the korbanos. So the Magen Avraham in Simin Mem Ches says that when one says korbanos in the morning, he should stand in order to mimic the avoda of the korbanos. That just as the avoda of korbanos was done be'amida while standing, so too when one recites korbanos in the morning, he should do so while standing. So the Magen Avraham is really making two assumptions in order to reach his conclusion that the recitation of korbanos that we do every day should be be'amida. One assumption is that the recitation should mimic the actual hakrava. That if the korbanos were sacrificed in a certain way in the mikdash, then so too our recitation of the korbanos should be done in the same way. So just as the korbanos were offered while standing, so too our recitation should be done while standing. But he's making another assumption, and that is that the requirement of Amida is a type of requirement that is transferable to Amiras Korbanos. Of course, we're not going to say that every single din, every single requirement of Hakravos Korbanos is going to transfer and extend to our recitation of Korbanos. That can't possibly be the case, because obviously they're not the same thing. We're only going to transfer those types of requirements that are transferable by their nature. So the point that I'm trying to bring up here is that we could disagree with the Magen Avraham on either of his assumptions. The Aruch HaShulchan rejects the first assumption. He says it's not the case that the recitation of the korbanos is supposed to mimic the hakravos hakorbanos, because obviously, we don't limit recitation of korbanos just to the Kohanim. All of Klal Yisrael recites korbanos in the morning. So if all of Klal Yisrael recites korbanos in the morning, then it can't be that we're really considering ourselves to be makriv the korbanos, and that our recitation is supposed to mimic and copy the hakravas hakorbanos. Rather, it's just supposed to be a nice parallel. So therefore, not all of the dinim that apply to hakravas hakorbanos are going to apply to the recitation of korbanos. But we could also reject the second assumption, and that is to say that even if we really think that our recitation is supposed to mimic hakravas hakorbanos, the psul of yoshev, or in other words, the requirement of amida, might not extend to the recitation of korbanos. So why is that the case? So if the psul of yoshev is really just reduces to the psul of zaris, so then of course it's not going to be transferable to the recitation of korbanos, because when Klal Yisrael recites the korbanos, so Klal Yisrael are Zarim. You can't get around that fact. Most of Klal Yisrael, besides the Kohanim, are Zarim. So why would they have to stand if, after all, as Zarim they're reciting the korbanos? So by sitting, they're just confirming the fact that they're Zar. By sitting, they're just reduced. If the psul of Yoshev just reduces to the psul of Zar, so then when one sits, he's just confirming the fact that he's a Zar. But he already was a Zar because he's not a Kohen, and nonetheless he's reciting the korbanos. So clearly what the Magen Avraham is saying is that the psul of Yoshev is not tied to the psul of Zar. It doesn't reduce to the psul of Zar. It's an independent psul. Maybe because the part and parcel of the definition of Avoda is that it has to be Be'amida. And if we assume that way, so then the Magen Avraham can say that the recitation of korbanos should also be be'amida, because the recitation of korbanos should mimic the avoda, and if part of the definition of avoda was to be be'amida, so too the recitation of korbanos should be be'amida. So now let's get to the next question, which we raised at the beginning, which is whether the requirement or the psul of Yoshev is really that. What's the exact requirement of the psul of Yoshev? Is it that we need Amida, or is it just that we need a not yeshiva? So this seems to be a machlokas. Tosfos in Zvachim Adaf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph explains that hishtachava, doing the avoda while bowing, would also be a problem of the psul of Yoshev. And one of the Achronim in Zvachim, a sefer called the Birkas HaZevach, Rav Aaron Shmuel Koidenover, who's also wrote the Tiferet Shmuel on the Rush, so he wonders why this would be the case. Why does Tosfos take for granted that doing the avoda while bowing would be problematic? After all, bowing is not sitting, and if it's not sitting, so why should there be any psul? So there's a machlokas here, whether we really need Amida. That's the position of Tosfos. Tosfos says that anything short of Amida is going to be problematic, or whether we just need not yeshiva. Anything more than yeshiva will be fine. And that's the Birkas HaZebach, that Hishtachava, doing the Avodah while bowing, will also be sufficient. So what's the point of dispute here? So this might also return to the character of the psul of Yoshev. Again, if the psul of Yoshev is, like we said for the Rambam, that anything that really the Avodah needs to be the Amida, because definitional to the Avodah is the posture of Amida, so then we'll say like Tosfos, that anything short of Amida is going to be insufficient. Ein Avodah ela Mu'uman. So we need to have Mu'uman in order to have the Avodah. Anything short of Amida is going to be problematic for the Avodah, and therefore we're going to say like Tosfos, that hishtachava, a bowing, is not going to be a sufficient posture for the avodah. But if we think that the problem of yoshev is not that amida is definitional to the avodah, but rather that doing the avodah b'yeshiva is a type of avodah hanim eses, or it's a rejected form of avodah, so then we might say that dafka yeshiva is problematic, that when you do the avodah b'yeshiva, so that's a kohen who's nimas la'avodah. But perhaps something more than that would be fine, and that could explain why doing the avodah while bowing with hishtachava would also be sufficient for avodah b'mikdash and would not be a problem of psul yoshiva. So some of the machshava that stems from this discussion is that we see that contextual factors can redefine our avodah. Sometimes, even if something inherently would be an avodah, contextual factors can recast what our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lack of respect for and awe of the opportunity to serve Hashem can take what has the potential really to be a transcendent act and recast it as a rejected service. Avodah b'mikdash has immense potential, but if it's done within the context of yeshiva, if it's done in the form and posture in a way that lacks the respect and the awe for the place and the environment that you find yourself in and the actions that you are doing, so that can reduce the avodah that has that immense potential and turn it into something that is something that we would like to avoid. And so what we derive from here is the importance of paying attention not only to the acts that we are doing, but also to the environment and the method, the means and ways by which we do those actions as part of our avodas Hashem. I wish everyone a great rest of the week.